Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 204, episode 2 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Tuesday, October 5th, 2021, spooky season. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Soak me in a BYU dorm nightly while my friend shakes the bed. Don't move a single inch, you stay completely still, I'll do a plank. Oh, soak me. That is courtesy of Get Vexed on Twitter. They said it was courtesy of the Cranberries, but that song is actually by Sixpence None the Richer, but your brain blocked that band name out because it is the most annoying band name of all time, maybe. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
So don't come around, uh-oh! The Commodus gave thumbs down, no!
And for those people who don't remember that, we were talking about how Commodus from Gladiator may have been the origins of thumbs up and thumbs downing our culture into oblivion. Shout out to Andrew Bub on the Discord, because I really miss that song, Der Commissar. Also, it is October 5th, and we forgot to tell you, it is National Get Funky Day.
National Get Funky Day.
Yeah. So however you got to get funky, you go off and fucking do that.
But I almost felt like I didn't need to tell people. It's like Christmas, Halloween, and National Get Funky Day are like the days that we all have marked on our calendar.
Right. But oh, yeah, yeah.
Happy National Get Funky Day to you all.
They say, hey, get funky and get out of your funk from the people who are trying to promote it. So get out
there. Who are these people? We really need to look into the International Day Industrial Complex,
because
they're doing good work out there. Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest stand-up comedians doing it. She's the co-host of The Scroll Down on HeadGum, and you could and should go get her stand-up album, The Woke Bully. Please welcome the hilarious, the talented Marcella Arguello!
Marcella, I got the best of you, but I just keep I'm coming back incessantly. Oh, why do they keep bringing me back on the show? Because I'm funny as fuck, even when I make you bitches mad.
I just improvised that. Thank you. I was trying to get funky with you guys.
Thank you, Mariah.
Woo.
Yes. Thank
you so much. I got scared. I was like, is that enough syllables? Yes, I got there.
No, you got it. See, perfect. You got the gift. Do you freestyle rap ever?
I used to, and then I embarrassed myself at a television show. No, I get it, but
you are displaying the qualities of someone who does freestyle because you're like, let me fit these syllables in. I got it. I got this, and I landed the plane. I'm like, okay.
I was nervous.
You're in a cypher with a backpack on.
I was nervous halfway through. I was like, I think I'm not going to get it.
No, you landed.
I'm sorry, you said you embarrassed yourself at a Talib Kweli show?
Yeah, Talib was late. Also, fuck Talib Kweli. He's like really a piece of shit online to women. But anyways, he was hella late at a show in Modesto. This was years ago, probably like 15 years ago, maybe. And he was hella late. So they were just like letting people freestyle on stage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Shout out to the fat cat and all that
shout
shit.
Shout out Modesto.
But it was hella funny because this used to be back. I don't even know. I might have already been doing comedy. I don't remember. But this was back when, like, if I was ever out anywhere at, like, a show or something and there was no women performing, I would fucking insert myself. I didn't give a fuck what my skill level was. I was like, I don't give a fuck. And that was one of those situations where, like, oh, just a bunch of guys freestyling and they're not even good and it kind of fucking sucks. So I went on stage and people were just got hyped because I was a woman on stage. Yeah. It was fucking ridiculous.
You're like, here she comes.
But it was not good. It was not good.
Do you remember the beat that was playing?
I don't. I have a really cool picture, though. I looked like a badass.
With you on, like, rocking the mic?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm like, please find that shit.
Yes.
Like, my hand is up. I'm like,
right.
It was on Facebook. I don't know where it is anymore, but it was a cool pic.
Hell yeah.
That's fucking cool. That is the best retirement from freestyle story that I could possibly imagine.
You know what? I also freestyled at a... you know, all those white kids that have like UCB rap shows. It was one of those type things.
Oh yeah, like who was it, Liza Skinner?
Maybe it was that, and they had me on, and I can like pre-write a really good rap, obviously.
Right.
But like freestyle, ooh. But what's funny is I wasn't even that good, but I embarrassed Open Mike Eagle that night.
I made
him look bad, and I was better than him, and that fucked with people a little bit.
Damn.
And I said I insulted him or something. I forget what I said. I don't know. I just made fun of him.
We should have you and Mike on to have the healing session.
All right, Marcel, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We are going to check back in with Christy Noem and her stance on nepotism. It's just a good old-fashioned story of local nepotism.
Yeah.
We'll talk about, we'll do a piece of good news. The world's oldest rainforest was just handed back to its indigenous owners. So we will talk about that. We'll talk about the Pandora Papers, of course. We will ask whether Facebook is in trouble and what that means for the rest of us. All of that. We might even get to Diana the musical.
You have to. More. I saw part of it.
Oh, you did?
Off the strength of it, I caught the first act, and I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Wow. Okay, we might just talk about Diana the musical, then. All of that, plenty more. But first, Marcella, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I had to Google San Francisco Fleet Week, because I didn't know what the fuck that was. Mm. And I'm in Modesto, California right now. And we've been having me and my brother have been noticing these little, like, cute little planes in like multiple planes at once for just crisscrossing. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then my friend who lives in San Francisco was like, it's Fleet Week. And I was like, what the fuck is Fleet Week? And then I fucking put the thoughts together once I hit the Google. I didn't read about it because I don't give a shit. It just feels like a waste of money.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's happening this week. And they are practicing in Modesto, California.
Right. So what is it? It's when all the...
They do fucking air shows or some stupid
shit? Yeah, but it's like a thing where like a lot of the like Navy people, Coast Guard, like ship-based military, like come to town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a thing for like a minute. But
for
I know.
A long right. time.
And then they'll have air shows and shit. It's just kind of like, yo, we're here. We're in the city.
They have potholes all over the city, but they're using the money for fucking Fleet Week.
Right.
Hey.
I associate it with like old timey, like a bunch of sailors mm-hmm. in their whites, just like walking around and
yeah, exactly,
causing trouble, like... getting into fights and bars and the Lower East Side or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That happens. And then you get a little Blue Angels, you know,
mm-hmm.
a party going on there too.
It's one of those traditions that feels really childish.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think they need to pick one. Why the planes? Aren't they supposed to be on the water? What's happening?
Because they're launched from the aircraft carrier.
I don't know.
Well, fuck it. Whatever.
I'm no military expert, but I say
I mean, that's
one.
A good thing, right?
The Navy.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm gonna get hate mail for mentioning that, right? Somebody's gonna be like, I served, and it's a very important tradition.
Nah, I feel like a lot of the people that served and listened to the show, like, they come through with and very enlightening opinions on. They're like, yeah, this is what's fucked up about the military. I'm like, thank you for that. And
they're gonna be like, it adds millions of dollars to the local economy. I feel like that's the.
What are you like? Oh, Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz is a big fan.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He does like the Daily Zeitgeist. Weird. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, I actually thought about this one because I know I'm not always, you know, very good at this.
No, you're one of the greats.
Thank you. I think that 90s movies are overrated in terms of content. You know, you're like, oh, that used to be my favorite movie. And then you watch it and you're like, they're being transphobic. They're being homophobic. This is like, all this movie is sexism. I mean, and racism and all the isms. And then, and so like, the nostalgia lies in like, you enjoyed it as a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I would argue that the only movie that stands the test of time, which is an 80s movie, is Labyrinth. But that has more to do with David Bowie's balls than anything else.
His cod piece.
So hot. But yeah, I always think like 90s, like Ace Ventura, a great example of something that like, oh, yeah, back, yeah. You're like, whoa.
Horrifically transphobic.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God.
And we were kids. Yeah. Like enjoying it. Like, oh yeah, right. That's gross.
And I'm like, it's the worst case of hemorrhoids anyone has ever seen.
Oh my God.
And yes. Then you're like, then you get older, you're like, whoa.
Super
like,
bad.
What is this? And for a while, I didn't even connect the two until I got much older.
Right.
I was just like, I don't know, maybe the character, what is it, the Einhorn shitter pants. And right. I was just like, no concept of anything else.
Yeah.
And then you get older, you're like, oh, whoa.
But see, that's how they fucking infiltrate your brain. And like, you don't even realize why you're transphobic when you get like, when you're a teenager, you know, you're just like, why am I so trans? And it's like, dude, the images were there since you were a kid. So that's overrated. What I think is underrated about 90s movies is the length. When can we go back to hour and a half movies in theaters? Because these stories are too long. They don't know how to edit down anymore. And it's fucking annoying.
What did you see recently that made you feel like that?
I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. It's just everything. It feels like they're just too long. Because, you know, when especially as someone in the industry, I'm just like, how did this not get cut out? It's pointless.
Right.
Even even going down to shows, like I've been watching The Morning Show and I'm like, these should not be an hour. These scenes could be so much shorter if they just focused on the editing.
Right.
So I think the length of shit is too long.
Yeah, that's kind of... Because, like, I remember over the weekend, I was talking to Anna about the Sopranos movie. And she's like, oh, it's 3 hours. And I said, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
3 hours? And I immediately was, like, having to have this, like, crossroads. I'm like, I'll never, it's very hard for me to say, I'm going to give you 3 hours just right. like that. Even though I will casually sit down and watch, like, 9 episodes of a reality show. And next thing I know, it's, you know, 3 in the morning. But
so. Real quick, I was just about to bring that same thing up, but it looks like it's just 2 hours. So,
oh, thank God. It just shows you how I'm on a hair trigger when it comes to long movies.
No, but 2 hours is still long for a movie.
Yeah.
Two hours is the most. Is the most. Absolute peak, I feel like.
Really?
Unless
I think that's still
some
too
epic. But even then.
I don't know. I feel like everything can be shortened down a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
I also feel like if it is over 2 hours, it's like, just make a series.
Right. Yeah. Turn this into,
you know?
Like The Irishman, how long was that?
That was over 3 hours.
Yeah. And you're like, the
felt
fuck
like
four?
An eternity. It felt like a fucking lifetime.
I mean, the other thing is, like, part of the reason I don't even watch some of these things is because they're too long. I'm like, I'm not going to sit down and watch this. They're not going to get it from me. I my attention span, maybe the shout out to ADHD. I mean, maybe it's that, but it's a movie.
The Irishman is 3.5 hours long. That's
which one?
The Irishman.
Ugh.
Yeah, for what?
For what?
That's like exactly.
To watch an Irishman? No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I have to see plenty of those.
Yeah. The 90s thing is really funny, too, because like even like when I watch The Office, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's times I love The Office. Like I've watched it so many times. I can say every line from that show. But then there's a lot of nuance in it where, like, you just see a lot of casual ignorance just be kind of, like, skirted when, like, when I'm like, no, y'all should dead that right there.
Right.
Please dead that for the good of society. Or even, like, in a lot of 90s films, too, when I go back and watch, it really does have, you have a kind of a moment where you're like, I'm not actually enjoying watching this because I've just gained more experience and empathy over the years. But I also just love the memory, though, of like that time, right, which was me eating an ice cream watching it.
But not just that, because I think about how like I can still watch Seinfeld and like, you know, Elaine pushes their asses on sexism and like, mm-hmm, even like the whole like the gay episode. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, that was the 90s. So it's like it's proof that that those ideologies were already existing on both ends. But it, sure, was like who was making what. So especially when I watch Seinfeld, I'm like, oh, so it is possible. So some of the people did know. They just didn't give a shit. Like they really just leaned into their isms. And it shows when you watch anything, especially from the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Seinfeld is going to be... When does that like Netflix run
kick
off?
It's on. It's right now.
Yeah, it's on now. I think it was yesterday, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's back, baby. I'm ready.
Is that... Do you think that that's going to have like the resurgence that like Friends or The Office had, like where people, because I do feel like it was so huge at the time and now younger people like don't really fuck with it?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I mean, it's been on Hulu this whole time, so it's not like people didn't have access to it.
Right.
And I don't know. I think a lot of young people just see four white faces and they're like, I'm not going to watch this, which is understandable. But you're right. Friends had a little resurgence. I don't think it would be possible because of the whole Michael Richards incident that has like really followed them. And I just don't think like Julia Louis-Dreyfus would be down anyway. It's just like, for what?
Yeah. And also like Seinfeld isn't the best. Like, I feel like, but like his politics are pretty whack.
Yeah.
His stand-up has gotten like so fucking bad. Like,
I mean, his stand-up wasn't great to begin with. I mean, it was funny to me because I was 12. When I watched it, you know, but like now it's like, oh, this isn't even funny. But you can see why working as a team can make a bit funnier, you know, like because some of his bits were like the premises were you're like, OK, this is interesting.
That's solid. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Bobcat Goldthwait. Fucking I guess they hate each other. I did a show where he was talking shit. It was so funny. I guess he spent the 90s calling Seinfeld's comedy pedestrian.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, my God. He was talking shit at one show we were on together, and I loved every second. It was right out. Remember how Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the whole Bridget thing, and they edited it out, and it was Bobcat? I mean, I'm sure you guys heard it was Bobcat.
Wait, the what?
Wait, I don't know the...
One of the episodes, Bridget Everett and Seinfeld are talking about a comic, but it gets edited, and Jerry expresses how much he doesn't like this person, which is not like him. He never publicly shits on anybody. And so, people, I don't know, the internet did its thing and they figured out that it was Bobcat. And then Bobcat was talking about it on stage. Like, I performed with him like a few months after that shit went down. I don't know what season it was. It was the second or third season of Comedians in Cars that Bridget's on. And he was just talking shit about him. And it was so fun. And I love Seinfeld. I love the TV show. And I love the stand up back in the day. I don't love it anymore. I was actually got into a debate with an older comic about it because I'm like, he's not that funny anymore. And she's like, but he is. And I'm like, no, he's doing the exact same thing he did in the 90s. And it's not funny anymore. And it really wasn't funny to begin with. But at the time, it was like, quote unquote, innovative, you know?
Right.
What's the deal with
what
he was doing?
Because even Bobcat moved fast from like, thank you very much. It's good to be.
Exactly.
And then you're like, yo, that shit was killing though. But
it was.
He had a vision. And I'm like, and I've been such a huge fan of his.
Yeah. And so, and you're right though. He has evolved. He's a different comic than he was back then, but he's still very funny.
Yeah.
But you're right. If you don't evolve as a comic, you're not going to
last. Yeah. Cause I mean, imagine him doing that shit now. I mean, I would love it for the nostalgia. Like if he brought it back for like one show, like, oh, that's interesting. But if he was like, he never got past that, I think people would be like, I don't know.
Right. And he has a good sense of humor about it too.
Yeah.
I mentioned to my mom, because I've done multiple shows with him, and I mentioned it to my mom, and she like did the voice, and it was so funny, and I did it in front of him on stage, and he fucking busted up laughing.
Yeah.
It was just that thing of like, I mean, that's how we associate him with, and I'm glad he doesn't like look down on it, you know?
Right.
I feel like Seinfeld's sense of humor has like is kind of locked in where it was like at the there's that like theory that like famous people like stop evolving at the peak of their fame because that's just like the most adulation they've ever gotten, and also they kind of get surrounded by people who are just telling them whatever they want to hear. And I feel like for Seinfeld it's like Michael Jordan's sense of fashion. It's just like that's it's going to be 1994 forever for both of those guys.
He's not like on a program where he's like oh, like excess is bad. He's like, why don't you have a Mercedes? Why don't you have nine cars? Like,
that's the only episode I saw of that show was with Zach Galifianakis, and he was like, your house sucks. I was like, yeah, what the like, fuck?
Yeah. Like he's living how he wants to.
I just thought you would have lived in a nicer house. It's like, okay.
A Subaru? No!
Yeah, he's the one that evolved the least for sure.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back, and Christy Nome is defending herself from nepotism accusations by just like admitting she did nepotism, kind
she's
of.
Like, yeah, okay, maybe I did that shit, but not the way you think.
Right.
So, yeah. Yo, she's been in the news for last week. That story came out, the rumor that she was sleeping with Corey Lewandowski from Trump World. Like, they were having an affair, and then she's like, I love my husband, whatever. She's like, we've raised God-fearing children together. I'm off this. Like, this is a bad rumor. And people are like, wow, okay. That by addressing it, it seems a little bit more guilty, but hey, right. Do you, Christy. You got to do you. And now she's like, over the last, you know, 2 weeks or so, this nepotism thing has been getting louder and louder and louder. And because here's the deal, you know, her daughter, just if, like about 2 years ago, she wanted to be a real estate appraiser. But, you know, like the tests and certifications were just like so unfair that the board denied her application and certification. And the state says that they will, like, in order to have your certification denied, it's denied when, quote, an applicant's work samples don't meet minimum compliance with national standards.
I mean, try to imagine how bad her application must have been for her to not get the approval in the first place when her mom is Christy Noem.
Like, first of all, the application was in crayon. I don't know if you guys know.
It must have been. It must have literally been in crayon. Like,
she's like, you traced someone else's application on top of this with crayon. Like, it's not even your name, miss. Oh, okay. So this, all these biases and things I got to overcome now. And I mean, look, no shade to, you know, real estate applications. It seems fairly straightforward to get licensed. I know an appraiser, like this specific certification might be a little more specific.
I'm sure.
But however, it just seems like
anything. It's hard for a lot of people, but not her. You wouldn't this because the moment that they denied this, the meeting that you're about to describe was like set in motion and they had to have known that. Like they had to have known.
Only one option. So the certification denied. Governor mommy coming through and demanded a fucking Soprano-style sit-down with Sherry Bren, who is the manager of the appraiser certification program, her direct supervisor, and the state secretary of labor. And
talk to her
daughter. And her daughter
was
the
there. Okay. I do like that she did a let me talk to your manager with the and your direct supervisor.
I need to speak to everyone's manager. So who's your manager? Okay, their manager as well. And who's yours? Them too.
I just love that she did all that when she could have just hired somebody to fill out the application. And, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways you could have really played the system if you wanted to.
Well, her daughter's trying to do it the right way, Marcel.
Yeah, okay.
Failing spectacularly and then having her mother abuse the office, the power of her office to get this done. So oddly enough, a couple months after that meeting, boom. She's certified, baby's certified, and is ready to start appraising, appraise the Lord. But it is not nepotism. And Christy Noem did a vertical video apology. So you know she's fucking serious about this. So this is Governor Noem's self-taped. It wasn't nepotism, but listen very closely to how she just even lets this unfold.
Media. And I wanted to take a second to set the record straight. I never once asked for special treatment for Cassidy. She is my daughter, and I'm proud of her. I raised her to accomplish things on her own, just like my parents raised me. Other appraisers went through the exact same process that Cassidy did.
Right here.
And I'll be honest, my administration started fixing that process, and it was way too difficult. Appraisers weren't getting certified, and South Dakotans were having to wait much longer to buy a home than in other states.
Okay, that's it. I don't even care about the rest
that's
of it.
Funny.
She stayed up goes, yo, I didn't do nothing. However, we have
the process
begin
was
fixing
unfair.
The problem. Yeah, which is it was way too hard.
Way too difficult.
I'm sorry. Is that a direct quote from your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mom, it's way too difficult. I don't
It's too difficult. It's too difficult. I cut in this application process and I had to fill it out all by myself and there was nothing on. And
Sherry, I need to see you tomorrow and bring your manager and her manager too. This is the governor. Bye.
Thank you, mommy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I got it, baby. I know, honey. That's so unfair. I can't believe they made you read.
I wonder if they don't know the difference between nepotism and incest. That's why she's like, it's not nepotism. It's like, lady, do you even know what nepotism? Because, you know, it sounds like she doesn't know what nepotism is.
No.
Yeah.
It's really what it sounds like.
I mean, especially when you then go on to say, however,
yeah,
we did have to fix some problems over in that place that made my daughter upset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's like, y'all, nepotism is disgusting. And that's why, obviously, I support abortions in the case of rape and nepotism.
Right.
And they're like, what the fuck?
I also love that you can see the ring light in her eyes in that video.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my favorite when you're just like.
And the glasses. Did you keep her apology glasses? That's what I call them. You know it's an apology when someone who's not normally wearing glasses puts the glasses on or around their head to kind of, right. I think it evokes that old thing for like Batman when the Joker's like, you wouldn't punch a guy with glasses, would you?
Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh, what a mess.
Let me just take a break from all this work I'm doing with my glasses to put them up on the top of my head and apologize. You guys are a distraction from the real job.
She definitely took more time on hair and makeup than she did on the apology.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Because then
the content isn't there, but
mm-hmm. the next 2 minutes, it's just, this is why it's so bad. You won't believe how long it takes to buy somebody to buy a house in South Dakota because there's no appraisers. I mean, really what I'm trying to do, she goes on to be like, I need to get more young people involved in this to give them opportunities because there shouldn't be so many obstacles to opportunity. Please don't look at my policies on education funding or things as it relates to reservations. But anyway, that's what I believe as the
government. It's like the classic white feminism story, right? Mm. Like they fucking want to adjust it for them and they think that that's helping everybody.
Well, yeah. Or use that very narrow like lens to say like the version of what is being experienced now is actually an oppressive force that right. we're trying to counteract versus...
Yeah,
my daughter is ill-prepared. I probably raised her as such where whenever she had a problem, mom would solve it without her having to learn a lesson, which has created runaway momentum for this baby adult who I've raised now, who now screams when they don't get their appraisers.
Oh, my God. I just thought of I've had my mom help me on one thing once when I was in high school. I think we had to carve out the fucking what is that shit? The Sphinx? Oh, uh-huh. like one of those
from styrofoam and shit?
No, from soap. And I was trying to do it, right? And I was like, Mom, can you help me? And she was like, yeah. And then she started doing it. And I was like, okay, let me. And she was like, no, let me. And she finished it. I didn't want her to. She just was you know what? You're going to mess this up. And I worked really hard on the back. So now I'm just going to do the whole face.
Yeah.
And I was like,
the hard part.
Yeah. And then we saved it. And to this day, when I look at it, I'm just like, I will never ask that woman for help again. She just fucking snatched it out of my hands. I mean,
that's so.
It's so weird when your parents are just like, let me do this thing for you. And you're like, but this has to do with my school. And
you're robbing me of the opportunity.
Yeah. Let me fail on my own.
No, because I got to show you mom still got it with an X-Acto knife and a bar of dial. Here we
go. It was so funny. But we still have it. Sometimes I'll see it and I'm just like, this wasn't even mine. But she's like, oh, yeah, remember that when you made that? And I was like, I didn't make that. You made that.
Like, stop telling the lie, mom.
Yeah. It's funny how
it's funny. It's so funny you say that. The one time my mom ever helped me with a school project was with an ancient Egypt diorama I had to build.
Wow.
And I was trying to make my own pyramids out of paper. And my dumbass just didn't know how to fuck with geometry properly to get it. And my mom watched me struggle for hours.
Good.
And then until she was just like, yo, like, you can't embarrass me like this when you bring this shit in here. Like, here, like, just cut this paper like this and then just fold it and then it'll look like a little pyramid. And I'm like, fuck. And I remember, like, being so self-conscious when I brought it. Like, I was like, the teacher's going to know my mom did this. She's going to know that my mom did the fucking paper pyramid. And no, it wasn't like that. But I'll never shake that feeling either.
Yeah, it's so funny, right? Because I got an A on it and I was, like, so upset that I got an A on it. Because I was like, that's not my A.
For me, too, like, with, you know... Asian household, it's very much like sink or swim, motherfucker. Like, and if you fail, I hope you're ready for the shame train because it's about to make a stop at this house and you better hop on. But like at the same time, also became very much like able to rely on myself because I was like, you know what? Because I feel like every kid, like when book report time would come around, there was always that one kid, you know, like your mom fucking made that shit. Like, you didn't make this shit. I've seen you. You can't even color in the fucking lines.
That's funny.
And now you did a whole ass diorama out of a moving box that's like to scale. No, I'm not doing that.
My dad helped me with math homework in sixth grade once, and I still remember it because it ultimately ended with him being like, your teacher's wrong about this.
Wow, this classic move.
This doesn't make sense to me. And she, my poor teacher, who was like such a hard ass, she didn't give a fuck, but she was just like, Yeah. Okay.
You're,
great.
Yeah.
And you're a basketball coach, right?
Okay. Yeah. So why don't you just add up the score?
Because you can only count it to five, right? And do it in ones, twos, and threes.
Okay. But see, isn't that funny that we all have a story and we all are like, we very vividly remember it and how it made us feel, how we still feel about it. And like Chrissy Noem's daughter is probably like, well, this is how it is sometimes for some people.
Well, that's like, because, you know, I grew up around a lot of kids who were the children of celebrities. And they all have that similar thing, which is money has solved all of their problems since they can remember. And I mean, there are some kids who, you know, were raised to be a little more self-reliant, but many are like to the point where it's like you move in, you're like, yo, can you set up the Wi-Fi or something? Like they don't even know how to set up a Wi-Fi account, like to even like, you know, you call the phone company and they're like, huh? And I'm like, fuck, bro, did your mom always do this? She's like, they'll be like, yeah, my mom got it covered.
We're still on the parent plan.
Come on now. Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Pandora Papers, because it is slightly related in the sense that the U.S. is one of the key tax havens for a lot of this activity, in particular, the state of South Dakota. So she is working overtime, making sure that, you know, they can get some business from South Dakota in particular, sheltering billions of dollars in wealth linked to people who have been accused of serious financial crimes, is a quote from the reporting on the Pandora Papers. But it's basically another leak like the Panama Papers, except even bigger. There's like more data in this leak than the Panama Papers. The journalists of the world are still kind of sifting through it because it's massive. But basically hundreds of world leaders, politicians, celebrities, religious leaders have been using offshore accounts to shield assets collectively worth trillions of dollars. I really liked Oxfam's statement on this because it just like, I feel like the way it's being reported for the most part is just like lifestyles of the rich and famous where like they got caught doing a bad thing. And
naughty billionaires.
But Oxfam's statement was, this is where our missing hospitals are. This is where the pay packets sit of all the extra teachers and firefighters and public servants we need. Whenever a politician or business leader claims there is, quote, no money to pay for climate change and innovation, for more and better jobs, for a fair post-COVID recovery, for more overseas aid, they know where to look.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just hiding all this money in all sorts of illegal ways that I don't fully understand. I'm not the person to explain it to you, but it's fucked. The whole system is fucked. And it's so complex and legalistic that it gives people that response of like, fuck, I don't even know where to start to like try and understand this shit.
Sure.
Yeah, nothing makes you feel more powerless in how the system is set up than when these types of stories are exposed.
Yeah. Right. And then it's like, oh, what happened with the Panama Papers? Oh, one of the journalists was like assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
That's what came of it. And then you're like, so what's with the what? I mean, that puts Biden in an interesting place, because this shows that the U.S. is the worst of the offenders,
which is why.
And it's like, so you can clean this shit up, because you had all this energy for, you know, people not paying their fair share. This looks like a real good example of some shit you could clean up. But will that happen? Oh, God. I mean, it's hard to stay optimistic when you look at how many people just even in Congress are like, yeah, the earth can burn because my corporate benefactors told me that's my take today.
Yeah.
You think Biden is looking forward to dying?
I don't know. He probably thinks he's dead.
You know, we contain multitudes, and, you know, there's probably not a conscious part of his brain that like wakes up and is like, I wish I was dead. But I bet there are like a whole bunch of parts of his brain that are like, God damn it, can we just get this over with, please?
Yeah.
Come on, take me away, Lord. What did you say, Joe? Nothing, Jill. Nothing. Nothing.
This is just one of those stories that, and I think we talked about this before, where it's like, this is why it's important to just focus on community, your community, and improving your community, because the sense of like helping as an individual in the global spectrum of things, it's like, You're not. These people are so corrupt and it's so much bigger than we can even wrap our fucking heads around. That yeah. It's like, just fucking focus on your family and your community and you will fucking get through this life, you know?
Yeah. I do love the idea that like American exceptionalism, we're like, yeah, they must be hiding their money in like offshore accounts. And it's like, yeah, South Dakota, if that's what you consider Sioux Falls, South Dakota is.
That ain't one of the Cayman Islands.
That offshore, bro. One of the politicians, the head of state for the Czech Republic, who is has an election coming up, made the statement that he knew this was going to happen just to swing his election, which is amazingly self-centered that he thinks that this thing with like global implications was all designed to swing the Czech election. But his statement on it was, I never did anything illegal or wrong, which half of that is true. The illegality is completely independent of the wrongdoing. And that's sort of the problem. The legal system is set up in a horribly corrupt way. I do want to like kind of talk about the other side of that coin, though, because like, so that story's about like really boring shit that's like hard to wrap your mind around, where that people are using to do illegal shit and hoard money and deprive people of money. But there's a great news story about the world's oldest rainforest being handed back to its indigenous owners. It's in Queensland, Australia, at a ceremony last Wednesday. The Eastern Kuku Yolanji people, I'm fucking that up, I'm sure, took formal ownership of the land. And it's like, just digging into it a little bit, it was like a decades long process with the federal government. Like, you know, they did something to protect the land back in 1989, but then like to actually give it back to the people took like 33 years of negotiations and like bureaucratic just sort of legwork. And I just feel like it's the sort of thing that it's hard to imagine like someone reporting on this or like this story going viral in America, since it's like a victory for people who were not immediately familiar with, and that's like done by bureaucrats basically. But our world, our culture is just so like anti-bureaucrat, like from like books that we read in high school that were like 1984 and, you know, Brave New World and like those sort of post-apocalyptic books that are like
Orwellian.
Yeah, that are just like, or Kafka, like everything is just like being a nameless bureaucrat is like hell. But it's like, well, you can also like just work and grind on behalf of like really good cause. And I don't know, but I feel like there's not a single place in our culture where like that is glorified other than like the occasional good news story.
No, you don't want to get too much momentum of, you know, colonizers giving shit back.
Right.
That's a dangerous game for a lot of governments. They're like, oh, whoa, what'd they do? No, that's a one-off.
I know, I was going to ask, you guys think that this is going to happen more frequently or just every, whatever, 20, 50 years or some shit? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I think the difference is, the one benefit is people are so interested in, like, these kinds of power dynamics. I don't know if it's definitely not like a tipping point, but more and more people understand, like, what is right and wrong. Or, you know, how oppression works, or how, like, you know, even being very underhanded with like bureaucratic paperwork to not, you know, give land back. I don't know. I just see just increased awareness. And I deep down, I hope with increased awareness comes some kind of tangible change. But it definitely takes time. And I think, to your point, that's why it's good to focus on things like locally, because you have a lot more. You when you know your communities and stuff like that, you know the people there, you kind of understand how power moves a little bit differently than trying to scream outside of Capitol Hill and being like, do something.
Yeah.
What, you don't want to do another insurrection? Black and brown people?
Nah, the first one was kind of whack. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of got
like,
away from
nobody
us.
Was smoking weed. I was like, what the fuck? This is not a party.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. And a New York Times columnist was pointing out that a lot of the sort of news leaks, a lot of the Wall Street Journal's reporting with these like Facebook leaks from behind the scenes of Facebook is being interpreted as like Facebook is this like massive, powerful company that's unstoppable. And like the thing we need to do is break it apart. And the columnist is like, yeah, that's, we definitely need to like break it apart. But also, like, what we're seeing is kind of more dangerous than them being this massive, like, unstoppable juggernaut. It's actually, like, a company that is in trouble and that, like, recognizes its weakness and, like, is acting from a place of desperation. Like, a lot of the leaked reports are about them being like, yeah, no, like, just the shit that we know, like, right, about Facebook, that, like, it's for old people and like young people aren't really fucking with it, and
it's becoming toxic for like younger people, especially like teen girls and things like that, and they don't give a fuck. They're looking at it like, yeah, that's happening, but what the fuck you want me to do, man? This engagement though.
But they like do recognize it. Like they, that's being brought up in meetings, is like, okay, there's all this shit that like kids hate about us. We're toxic. We have like these things that go viral that are like really bad for people. You know, we've helped spread genocides in other countries. Like these are bad stories that are like hurting our ability to like draw young people. But then everything, like to a cellular level, like everything that they do is all about generating engagement. And it's just, they can't change how people think of their platform because it's been fucked up for so long. So like, yeah. They did this algorithm that was covered at the time in the mainstream media, because the mainstream media will just repeat anything that a massive tech company or the police tell them. But it was like, they're doing this push to change the state of the algorithm to be like more positive. What they actually did was like changed it to increase engagement. And that ended up just meaning that they increased the like posts that made people angry.
This whistleblower Francis Haugen, who is the person who shared all those documents with the Wall Street Journal, they were on 60 Minutes, and I'll just play this clip of her describing just very bluntly how shit was working at Facebook, and then you really understand, it's like, oh, this is, they don't give a fuck, and even no matter what the cost.
Haugen told us the root of Facebook's problem is in a change that it made in 2018 to its algorithms, the programming that decides what you see on your Facebook newsfeed.
So, you know, you have your phone. You might see only 100 pieces of content if you sit and scroll off for, you know, 5 minutes. But Facebook has thousands of options it could show you.
The algorithm picks from those options based on the kind of content you've engaged with the most in the past.
And one of the consequences of how Facebook is picking out that content today is it is optimizing for content that gets engagement or reaction. But its own research is showing that content that is hateful, that is divisive, that is polarizing, it's easier to inspire people to anger than it is to other emotions.
Misinformation. Angry content is enticing to people and keeps them on the platform.
Yes. Facebook has realized that if they change the algorithm to be safer, people will spend less time on the site, they'll click on less ads, they'll make less money.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this woman is just so fucking steely with her delivery on it, and you're like, and you just look at all of the things that we're seeing being compounded by the way Facebook gives people information, and you're like, they just, yeah.
You saw that the reason she decided to fucking whistleblow the fuck out of this shit is because she lost her friend to conspiracy theories online.
Oof.
I mean,
that's so fucking sad. Yeah. And it's also that thing of like, I also hate that people need to have like lose something in order to feel like they need to do something good, you know, like that. It's, right. You know, double-edged sword there. But I am glad she's doing it and did it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, fucking hell, man, this shit is like so deep and dark and worse than I think we all can even wrap our heads around once
again. I think everybody knows someone that's just gone down the rabbit hole, and it's like, hey, see you later. And you're like, you can't believe what has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize, but you also, there are people you can watch like, oh yeah, the posts were getting, like they were sort of gaining speed the last couple of years in the way they would post on Instagram or Facebook. And yeah, it's such a pervasive issue that, again, like, what are they going to legislate finally? Or what do they do? Just let this thing thrash its way into total chaos as on the way down.
And YouTube is also getting rid of the supposed vaccine misinformation too, right? They're taking shit down. And But who knows what that even means? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they said like of like the 12 biggest offenders, I know like a few days after that announcement, like two of them were still up. But I think it seems like on some level they want to do something about it. But it's hard for me to think that they're having a reckoning with like, well, I guess this just means we're going to have to make less money, folks.
Right.
Right. That's the one thing.
Is that actually being brought up in seriousness? I doubt it.
No, that's never, you know, allowed.
Could you imagine like a clip of that in a board, like tape of a board meeting? Like, I mean, the alternative is we have to do the right thing and just, you know, just look at more engagement and begin to tell our ad partners that. People are like,
but it's sad too, because it, sometimes when I talk to my friends about things that they say yes to or things that they're wanting to say yes to in the industry, I will straight up be like, how much money do you need? Like, what are you really getting out of this project or this thing that you're doing? And sometimes people, like, just hearing that fucks with their head. And it's really interesting that it's like, it's no wonder it's gotten to this point, because if you can't even, like, your individual, like your friends, people in your life have a problem with that concept, it's like, yeah, no fucking wonder everybody's so fucking corrupt, because like money right. is truly fucking with people's heads. I don't know.
Well, yeah. The whole thing and is it's a mess. Like, it's like the same thing with, you know, what's being reflected back to you from society mm-hmm. is get yours, because mm-hmm. there's not a lot out there. So you right. better get yours, because you don't want to be one of these other motherfuckers that don't got it. Mm-hmm. And until I think, there's some kind of redistribution of values where people are like, nah, like it's not, we have to get off the get yours mindset, and it's like get ours type shit, like for everybody to be able to say that there is enough, that we're not dealing with such finite things, mm-hmm. that there is a way to support people. And I think many people have a rigid idea of like, well, if that happens, that means I'll never go on vacations or blah, blah, blah. Like, well, yeah, that's fine. You know, you're a normal working person, like, and everyone should have the flexibility to do that. But I think there's just a really good messaging machine on the other side, which is having people fear for what it means to create more equity for people, mm-hmm. which is like, that means they're going to take your shit, when really right. we're trying to come for the people from the Pandora paper shit.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. It's also interesting when I think about how like all these news stories are connected, not connected, right? Because it's like, I think about how, like, thank God those indigenous people got their land back. And then you think about, like, influencers online. Now they're kind of exploiting the original traditions, like holistic traditions that yeah. indigenous people created. And, you know, like their ancestors took their land, and now these influencers are exploiting these indigenous traditions as like their fucking cool ass thing that they're selling online, and they're mm-hmm. making money off of it. They're profiting. And I don't know. It's just like this weird cycle that, like, as we went through these stories, I'm like, I saw the cycle in my head, and I'm like, this right. is so weird how it's all connected and it's not connected, and how everything just comes back to money.
Well, yeah. And yeah. just like the phases of like being colonized, the land mm-hmm. will go first, and then the people, and then the culture. And it's like, yeah, we'll just get as much as we can out of this thing.
Yeah. This column points out that you shouldn't be any less worried about Facebook, because they're kind of in a desperate place, because, you know, history has shown that companies like MySpace, they specifically mention, like, on the way down, they do a lot of damage. They, you know, sell user data to advertising firms. They fuck with your online information security.
Right.
And another good example of like how Facebook, you know, the sort of bind that they put themselves in is like, there's a problem on Instagram with people being sold products that are unhealthy, that like promote eating disorders. And the way that they tried in quotes to combat that is just by banning like a couple obvious hashtags. Like right. they're like, well, that no more. And then obviously the companies just create new hashtags. Right. And like,
So Thinspo is gone? Okay. Yeah. Okay, how about hashtag snatched up? You know, that's yeah. what we start using. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's that's always their problem, is they're just plugging these holes for another leak to just pop up on the other place, because they're not just removing the boat from the body of water right. to fix it. It's like, right. no, I think we can keep this going if we're just doing it like in this ad hoc way. And it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just think, like you said, with MySpace going down, remember what, Tom sold it to Fox, right?
Yeah, Tom sold it. No, imagine, Tom sold it to
or whatever company first.
Yeah, yeah, Intermix, which sold it to Fox.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, what happens if Mark Zuckerberg decides to cash out on Facebook? That's right. when I think it would go truly in another direction, because someone right. goes, "Yo, if I can just get my fucking hands on Facebook, like I'll turn this shit all the way up."
Yeah.
And he'll be like, well, I already have my islands. So.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right. We do have to get to the Diana musical, yes, though. That's very important.
Yeah. What a horrible news day.
Yes.
Jesus. I'm really glad I came on for this one, guys. Laugh right I've been.
You're going to like this one, though, because this, yes, is so bad it's good.
Okay.
So there's a lot of Diana content, a lot of Diana tent coming out these days. Mm-hmm. There's The Crown, the upcoming movie Spencer, where Diana's played by Kristen Stewart. And there's yet another fictionalized telling of the life of Princess Diana that just hit Netflix. It is a lavish Broadway musical recounting like her life through cringy pop rock songs and elaborate dance numbers.
Yeah. I remember we first talked about it like when this came on the radar and we're, yeah, like, oh boy, this sounds like a mistake. But we're blessed because these people actually recorded themselves performing this last summer and it's on Netflix now. And what a sight for sore eyes. If that means a bad thing.
I wasn't
thing,
aware of this whole thing until I think yesterday. So there's a clip going around of two friends watching it, and they're trying to figure out how the woman playing Diana, she's singing to whoever the fuck, and then steps into a stand-up dress, a dress that's standing, and so there's an extra in the dress, and that person steps out, and she like walks around, steps in. It's like shot perfectly, so you can't tell. But they're dissecting it because they're like, this makes no sense. She's like not moving. She's just sitting there trying to sing because she stepped into the dress. That's the only, right, thing I know about this at all.
Like a paper doll type thing?
Kind of like a paper doll. Yeah, it's very, wow, weird. And people, it's like going viral. And that was the only thing I know about this. And it looks kooky. It looks kooky.
I mean, that might be the best thing because what you're saying sounds like a good bit of like stage direction that people, mm-hmm, are like, how'd they fucking pull that off?
Yeah.
Because the musical itself.
Yeah, it's getting like just killed in reviews based on like some of the lyrics. At one point, Prince Charles sings, "How about for a start? Don't act like a tart, Diana."
What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which he probably said to her.
Right. That's not, yeah, might not have rhymed. But when Prince William is born, he sings, "Darling, I'm holding our son. So let me say jolly well done." It's just really like,
take these writers to creative prison. What are you doing?
Katy Perry wrote it.
There's a scene right early on where she's just like entering like the phase of courting Prince Charles, and like there's like this paparazzi scene, this paparazzi dance number, like they're all dressed like newsies and stuff.
Oh my god!
And it's she's like, oh my god, like, you know, the whole sort of undertone, like, you know, the thrust of it is sort of like, these people are bad, but also like y'all are ingesting it, so who's really bad? Kind of a vibe.
Oh my god!
And there's one lyric where they're saying in a chorus, they say, "Better than a Guinness, better than a wank. We take the pictures and this money in the bank."
Hey.
Oh my god.
Really? I mean, better than beer or jerking off? That's part of the, and then you're like, this has gone completely off the rails.
I mean, it is showing that they're sickos. So when she dies, are they like tap dancing on her? Like, how does that work?
They're just like taking her lifeless body and like posing it to do a dance number. No, I didn't even get that far. Cause like once I was seeing this, I was like, this is so bad. You know, it's just like, I don't know how you do a musical treatment of something that's like, everyone else is like, this is actually like pretty tragic if you really, right, look at it closely. And a lot of people only saw like the glitzy parts without understanding how tortured these, right, people were.
Do you ever like turn something off in the middle of it or at the beginning of it just to like make a point? Because you're like, I should finish this for work, but I'm going to turn this off to send a message to these streaming numbers. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll rage quit, like performative rage quit, you know, but sometimes I just ran out of time.
So you're saying you were going to finish it?
Honestly, it's so bad. The dancing, it looks like the kind of shit, like, it looks like if a flash mob broke out on a cruise ship, and you're like, right, none of these motherfuckers got talent.
That's like a cruise ship, you know, on a cruise ship during, yeah, during a storm, and they're like,
yeah, during kinda, like a cove, like you're on a COVID boat, and they decided, hey, let's do a flash mob musical real quick for these stranded passengers. Like,
and you
that's
have a
sort
fever,
of the,
yeah,
it, the choreography. It really,
you know, as someone who just like survived shit. COVID, I don't find that comment funny at all, Miles. How
okay,
dare you?
My
you
apologies.
Apologize.
I don't mean to say it to get it, make it that vivid, but wow. I hope the
you
point
really
was
took me there. Place. You know,
yeah, it's getting, so some of the reviews are pretty like good. They said Chicago Tribune said that the RN streaming is optional. The Evening Standard said it's like being bludgeoned over the head by a commemorative crockery set.
That's funny.
That's pretty good.
I like that.
And at one point they rhyme Camilla with the Thrilla in Manila. So anytime you feel bad about your own freestyling, you know, you can always remember that somebody actually wrote that shit down.
Oof. Like, yeah, when it comes to sex, I'm similar to the Thrilla in Camilla. And he's called me Biggie the Caterpillar. Okay, I'm just thinking of that rhyme. Rest in peace, B.I.G.
And Diana, yeah. You jackass.
and Diana, R.I.P. But yeah, I don't know if you could ever do something that is serious and add the level of camp that a musical brings and then it completely not have any meaning anymore.
Yeah. There's a musical number sung by the Queen in which she's sandwiched by two beds, one in which Diana is having an affair with James Hewitt and the other where Charles is fucking Camilla.
Oh my God.
I'm just looking at screen caps. I've not watched this, but their strategy is apparently to like let people see this and then they will be like, I've got to see it in person because doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like ego.
Right. Yeah. The only Broadway musicals that they've like released on like a streaming network are like ones that like a lot of people have seen and they've already succeeded. This is the first time that they were like, put this out.
Usually you secure your streaming bag after your Broadway bag. If you're a Broadway production, you'd imagine you'd want to do it in that sequence. But shout out to Netflix. I don't know how. I was just thinking like how this whole thing, the whole time I kept watching, I'm like, I want to feel like you can make a musical about anything and then it works. But it's like the way they just focus on all these very like just superficial moments. And if there is something serious, it's like a throwaway line, in a lyric. You're like, that's not honoring them. It's like doing like a Harriet Tubman musical, but it's like you map it over like Starlight Express because you just focus on the railroad part. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, come on, don't do that. Just don't even bother. Like, it's not, you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. You can tell, you do it maybe with theatrically, but not with just the
Harriet Tubman going, I've been working on the railroad.
I mean, honestly, yeah, you're like, ooh, I don't know about this one. But that's what it's, at times, that's what I kind of felt with this when I'm like, this feels like a disservice to everybody.
It's so weird.
I do feel like I kind of have to watch this in person now. I think I'm going to plan a...
Jack, you are a better dancer than the guy playing Charles.
Whoa. Right.
You said that I'm not a great dancer.
I know, but I'm saying you... No, because this guy, they say he's good. And I've seen you pop and lock. And this
I want to see Jack pop and lock.
Oh, you should see him.
I'm going to come swimming and watch you pop and lock.
We call him Boogaloo Doo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's his busking name.
Wow.
But yeah, the there's a scene where he's like trying to like send like a wave through his arms and shit. God. And it looks like he broke both his arms because they're so rigid. And he's just like
damn.
So it's like offensive to people who danced.
That's
like,
funny.
I need to watch Squid Game. I'm enjoying watching Squid Game. And yet I think I'm going to have to watch this before I watch any more Squid Game.
Wow. Just ghost it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch it with your children. Just a feel-good time.
Yeah, when they're saying stuff like, better than a Guinness, better than a wank.
Yeah.
And your kids are like, what are those? You're like, I don't know why.
They're not going to ask any questions. We'll be like, oh, this is mesmerizing. I'm just a dumb kid. Like that.
They do find the one like word that I don't want them to listen to and be like, what does that mean? Did he say gun? No, he said gum. Gum.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I'm going to blow your head off with this gum.
It's really good gum.
You think this fucking Meghan Markle shit like got everybody all excited to exploit the royal family again? Is that what's going on here?
I think the Crown did it. The Meghan Markle shit did it. But yeah, the Crown, I think, is largely
responsible. People are obsessed with that show, right? It's just won a bunch of Emmys and stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like they left like the Diana part of the Crown is not like as the strongest part of the show, I feel like. And so people are like hungry for some Diana stuff. Yeah.
It also feels like so long ago that people can exploit it again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I think the director of this Also, he like won an award for directing a 9/11 Broadway.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
No wonder.
I was reading the RogerEbert.com review of this because I'm like, what does RogerEbert.com got to say? They gave that shit 1.5 stars. Mm-hmm. And then they said, blah, 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 blah. It was being the creative hands of Christopher Ashley, director of the stage production and this film's performance. Ashley is also a Tony Award winner for his staging of the September 11th musical, Come From Away.
Mm.
So I didn't know that.
They won a Tony for the people who wrote the lyrics won a Tony for Memphis, which I was not familiar with. But
oh, the 9/11 thing is about people who were stranded in Newfoundland because of all the flights being canceled because of 9/11. Yeah. So it wasn't like a 9/11 adjacent.
I'm dying on the building. I'm going to jump off.
I know. I love you, honey. If I never speak to you again, hold on. I must insert my credit card for 2 more minutes. And you're like, this is
morbid. Oh, Joshua.
That was actually really pretty. Marcella, where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me at the North Bar in Chicago this Saturday, October 9th. If you guys are in Chicago or the areas, please come out and see me. Fun shows. I'll probably be sitting because I'm still recovering from fucking COVID. Doing anything exhausts me. So that's where my lack of energy came today. But you know what? It is what it is, y'all. Otherwise, I'm at Marcella Comedy on all social media platforms. I have my album, The Woke Bully, that is still so fucking funny. And
so good.
The Scroll Down with Nicole Thurman is a podcast where we do breakdowns of the week. Not like this. We don't do any boring news stories. So if you love the news, don't listen to it. If you love to hear us shitting on pop culture, we do that.
And do it very well.
Thank you.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've
been enjoying? So there's social media work. That's an interesting one. There is a young woman, Chiffon Taylor. She says, you make one valid point to your homegirl, and it's just a screenshot of her friend going, whose side you on? And I found that so funny because it's so true when you do that with your homegirls, or just like make a point that has nothing to do with, you're just trying to like speak logically, you know, diplomatically. Right. And they're just like, bitch, oh, now you his friend now?
Right. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Whose side you on? I'm like, I don't know. I'm reasonable.
Yeah. I don't know. You're kind of being a bitch right now. Did you ever think about that?
I needed you to be my homegirl who would be unreasonable with me. No questions asked.
My bad. Jack, where can people find you?
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for asking. We usually do Miles first. This is
3-man weave. Go.
Yeah. I'm Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. Some tweets that I've been enjoying. Let's see. Village of the Damned tweeted, girlfriend, I'm seeing someone behind your back. Me, believes in ghosts. Is it my grandpa? Dylan. Dylan tweeted, parentheses, guy who caused it. Hey, I'm staying out of this.
yep.
And.
Damn, we can have multiple? I didn't even know you could do multiple.
I know. I'm a glutton.
We're out here
having
multiples on air.
Good for you.
And Veda Huno tweeted, if she's your girl, then why does her leitmotif appear in part of my battle theme? Which I enjoyed. Miles.
You're a fucking dork, Jack. Oh, wait. I just remembered a couple more dates. I'm in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Colorado, ACO.
October 22nd, 23rd. I know that you have a lot of listeners in Colorado, so come see me at the comedy on Fort. Some shit like that. I don't know what it's
called. We owe them a visit, too. Yeah. We owe y'all a visit out there, Colorado Zeitgang.
We do.
Miles, where can people find you?
Thank you so much, Marcella. Thank you for having me. You can find me at Miles and Gray on Twitter and Instagram, and also my other show, 420 Day Fiancé, with Sophia Alexander. We're just getting high talking about 90 Day Fiancé, the Lord's work. A tweet I like is from at Alex Hawley, who tweeted, Library Patron of the Week. The fella who came in, wandered around for a good while, then asked pleasantly, what is this place?
Oh, my gosh. We talked about it last week, like how just unthinkable libraries would be. Like if they hadn't already existed, like in our modern world, if someone was like, all right, I'm going to make a like place that has all the books and like for free. People would be like, what the fuck are you
talking
about?
They'd say it's critical race theory or some shit. Right. You know what I mean?
We like 4 of us in the family used to work at a library, but my mom was reminding me of this story where people steal books from the library. Sure. And I guess one of the ladies that worked there was like, we should be happy that they want to steal books. And I was like, that's the cutest thing I've ever
heard. Oh, I know.
They want to read, though.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's true. They're like, no, they're just rolling joints out of the blank notes in the back of those Bibles they're stealing.
Well, guys, thanks for joining me here on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Hey.
Where can people find the Daily Zeitgeist, Marcel?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
The fuck would I know? You can find the Daily Zeitgeist on... Where is it now?
Oh, so you don't know either, Miles. Where can people find the Daily Zeitgeist?
Oh, yeah, you normally does this shit. at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram, Facebook fan page, website, dailyzeitgeist.com. We post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
And then, Jack, ask me what we're riding out on.
Hey, Miles, what song are we riding out on today?
Hey, we're going to ride out on this track, South by West from Unglued. It's a bit of drum and bass, you know, because Diana got me in that UK massive mood.
Massive.
And this is a track I've been blasting just on my bicycle. I'm the drum and bass bike lord. And it's just got a great, like, sort of jazz sample, but flips it into a nice drum and bass track. I feel like I'm watching an old, like, Infinity car commercial from the 90s when, like, that used to be the theme of all commercials. So check this out. It's easy listening, and it goes South by West, Unglued.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.